well.
Well, I've always said there's nothing an agnostic can't do if he really doesn't know whether he believes in anything or not.
Yes,
this is a hotel.
And
Liverpool.
In Liverpool.
and quite a few things that you've been working with recently, Steve. First of all, could you tell us a little bit about the collaborations with Chris Squire in particular?
Okay, yeah. He and I started recording something a couple of years back. There's been quite a number of projects that were supposed to follow one after the other. I started a solo thing, and then that turned into a collaboration with him. And then it turned back into a solo thing for me, and then I sort of reconvened with him after he's moved to the States and had a baby, or rather his wife had a baby. So we finished it off, and I think we've got a record deal, but you never know with these things, negotiations and what have you. I think it's an interesting sounding record, and there's lots of stuff on it that I think sounds really good. Some of it might be quite surprising for listeners, because it's neither typical of him or typical of me. But we haven't gone disco, but it's quite atypical in places. Quite romantic, I think, quite a lot of it. So most of it is in entirely countable time signatures, unlike so much of Yes and Genesis and early progressive work. Most of it's 4/4, so, but there's a few tricky bits.
You'd expect tricky bits with an album between yourself and Chris Squire.
Yeah, but it isn't all the sort of, it's not driven by the maths as much as, the chance to sort of nod the head and sing along in places.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in your work, quite emotional stuff that you couldn't necessarily put into the category of progressive rock. Sewer Crumb Tomato and works like that.
Yeah.
I believe you're doing that on the tour as well.
Yeah, I've been rehearsing that up with the band, Sierra Quemada, and we're doing a version where Amanda Lehman plays lead guitar along with me, so we do it in harmony together. We have a few harmony guitar parts, and that thickens the melody slightly, but it gives it almost a slightly more orchestral sound to it. I mean, it's a bit of a stretch of the imagination, but it thickens that line, it makes it a guitar section rather than here I am out there with it solo, because I do like to try, and when we repeat things like that from years gone by, it's nice to capture the spirit of the original, but to give it something plus, so it's then plus now.
still available, yeah. isn't it? We can still purchase that one.
I believe so. Depends where you go, you know. Yeah. I don't know where to buy records these days. I don't know. Do you go to Tesco's? Do you go to Sainsbury's? Can you find a record shop? In fact, I bought a very interesting a book called Last Record Shop Standing, which talks about all of that, you know, where to buy records. But yeah, I think you can get that one still. I don't know. I mean, I've got so many of them out there, but no doubt. You know, it'll be available. If it isn't available now, it'll be available again at some point. You know, I'd have to ask an expert. I can't tell you what's out there and what isn't at this point.
Yeah. I think it's just on the high street, just interesting. I think it's just HMV now, isn't it? And most high streets.
Well, yeah. Yes, it's gone back to one record shop. It's strange, isn't it? In, you know, whatever happened to Tin Pan Alley? I mean, it's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I came from an era where people used to go along to a shop that sold TVs, washing machines, and brown cardboard boxes that contained albums filed in no alphabetical order or genre, and taking a very long time to buy a record in those days.
Yes.
Beatle records. I think we've got some of those out the front in the streets, for the box from the left next to, you know.
We had a place around here, Alan will probably remember your barograph, Rumbelows, when they used to sell records and washing machines as well.
Yes.
So I know what you mean, but obviously those...
I think that's what's happening again. It's going back to that time, isn't it? You know, it's like you wade through the DVDs, the games and the cups of coffee, and eventually you find ladies' underwear, turn right up the floor and find some records with young Mr. Grace.
Just before we move on to the live gigs, Steve, we're talking about Squawkit. Now, can I have an exclusive on this name, please?
Yes. the name is a suggestion that Chris Squire's wife, Scotty, her real name is Scotland, everyone calls her Scotty. If you've never met her before, it's important to say hello, Scotland, because she was born there. And funnily enough, her mother, this is far more interesting, grew up with John Lennon. Isn't that extraordinary? And they wrote a musical together when they were kids. Extraordinary. Anyway, Scotty said, I've been thinking about this, why don't you call your project, you and Chris, call it Squawkit, because Squire and Hackett. So it seems to have stuck so far, so it's, you know, we could have called it something like The Painkillers, but so far it's Squawkit.
I think we prefer Squawkit.
Yeah.
Or Squawkit, Squawkit.
Squawkit.
We could actually...
Yeah. It's Squawkit for you. Squawkit. Or...
What would it be in Liverpool? Squawkit.
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 Squawkit. Squawkit. Is that close, Helen? How is it pronounced in Liverpudlian?
Okay, we'll stick to that one then for the purposes of this interview.
Sorry about that.
No.
I'll do it in broad Cockney to parody my background.
Go on, please.
Oh, it's Squawkit,
isn't
it? That's right. It
didn't sound very Fagin, so that'll
Fagin.
So we're just about to embark on a live tour then, Steve, and we're in Southampton on the 16th of November.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that?
Immensely, yes. I mean, first gig, of course, I'll be thinking, you know, what tune am I supposed to play? What's the opening line of this new one I've come up with here? But if my memory doesn't... You know, it's getting past that first gig, you know, when you have... You know, a relatively okay gig, the first one, it's great. If you can get it in one, fantastic. But often, all the professionals I've spoken to say, yeah, it takes about 3 or 4 gigs before it starts happening. So, but I wouldn't want to call those gigs sacrificial pawns, they're certainly not.
Fingertips, the crown gives. dust is dust.
Southampton Brook is a smaller gig, and then of course we'll be doing the larger ones, the Shepherd's Bush Empire, and the Birkenhead one, funnily enough, I think of as a nice size venue. But it takes a few gigs to get it, get the machine oiled, really. Sure. But you know, this band has been, sometimes they crack it really, really quickly, so
It's the same band as last year?
Yes, same band, and that's the band plus Amanda Lehman, Nick Beggs of Kajagoogoo fame, Rob Townsend on saxes and flutes, Roger King keyboards, Gary O'Toole drums, and most of us sing, so you know, we've got about 5 singers out of a 6-piece band, so I'm looking forward to it immensely. I mean, I think I'm usually at my most relaxed on tour doing gigs, doing what I do best, because, you know, the things that go on around that, you know, civilian life, I find infinitely more difficult dealing with all the things that you know, the multitasking aspect of civilian life is very different to being on tour, and you just got to think about the music and.
When you were first starting out, let's if we go back to Genesis just briefly, do you still get the buzz, the same buzz, actually doing these gigs as you did in those days, or is it a slightly different kind of experience for you?
Well, I think in the early days of Genesis, I was much more nervous. Equipment wasn't always reliable, and neither were my nerves, and the two really went hand in hand. Mm. Sometimes in those very early days, particularly the years 71 to 72, those 2 years, sometimes I'd be on stage and my knees would either be knocking together, I'd be sitting down and have my foot on the volume pedal, and it would sometimes there'd be a constant tremolo going like this, you know, I was so terrified at times, and I went from that, and in the space of by the time 1973, and we'd done Selling England by the Pound, I went from that to a feeling of euphoria and complete self-confidence on stage, thinking, you know, we really do have the best band in the business at this point in time, and John Lennon's just said he likes us, he likes Selling England by the Pound, he was listening to us. We couldn't get a gig in the States at that time to save our life, but, you know, it was gonna break, and I felt we had a great band, we had a great set, the best of those three albums we were able to do live. So, you know, I felt very at home then, so it's amazing. Once the nerves start to settle and you get into your stride, because you're asking a lot from yourself at first, I think, and the sort of the weight of that I took far too seriously.
I was reading Alan's book, and there was a thing about, I think the first gig, one of the effects pedals decided to pack in.
Yeah.
And that really threw you up.
The very first gig, yes. Very first gig with Genesis. This is to reassure anyone who goes out there with stage fright. The first gig I did with Genesis was a total disaster for me. Total disaster for Phil. I've been working with a volume pedal and a fuzz box. Trouble was, we didn't have enough fuzz boxes to go around, so Richard McPhail said, I couldn't get another Marshall Super Fuzz, so we've got a Rose Morris thing, a duo fuzz, it was called. A great fuzz box. Only one problem. When I tried to play at the gig volume, it fed back. So everything that was audible that I did was feedback, and then I just went into total bum notes. I forgot everything I'd learned. It was all gone and completely screwed up the gig, and I thought, that's it. Showbiz, it's over for me as regards Genesis. But luckily they indulged me further. They gave me another gig. The second gig we did was at a teacher's training college in Bangor.
Bangor-on-Dee?
Bangor, Wales.
Wales, North
yeah,
Wales?
Yeah, that's right. And we played in, it was a classroom to about three people, so it was a paid rehearsal. And luckily, I managed to remember everything. And then we were doing the biggest gig in the land, the third gig. There was no bigger gig you could do than the Lyceum in London. So once again, what way is it going to go? Is it going to be like that first gig, you know? Or am I going to be like the second gig?
His lambs were under my naked feet. The wool is soft and warm, gives off some kind of heat. A salamander scurries into flame to be destroyed. Imaginary creatures are trapped in birth on celluloid. The fleas cling to the golden fleece, hoping they'll find peace. Each thought gesture, a card in celluloid. There's no hiding the memory, there's no room to avoid.
The crawlers cover the floor in the red ochre corridor. For my second sight of people, they've more lifeblood than before. They're moving in time to a heavy wooden door, where the needle's eye is winking, closing on the poor. The carpet crawlers, he dare call us. We gotta get him to get out. We gotta get him to get out. We gotta get him to get out. There's only one direction in the faces that I see. It's upward to the ceiling, where the chamber's said to be. Like the forest fight for sunlight that takes root in every tree. They are pulled up by the magnet, leaving their free.
The carpet crawlers, he dare call us. We gotta get in.
Did the gig, and at the end of it, Richard MacPhail, who was mixing sound out front, said to me, "The gig's over now, Steve." He picked me up by the arm and led me off the stage at the end, because I was still trying to remember what comes next. What comes next is you get up and leave the stage, Steve. That's how bad it was, really. That's how traumatic. But I got through it, and I think, you know, the nice thing about being older is you're prepared to make a fool of yourself more, so you tend to play better because you're not worried about, okay, there's going to be the old fluff, there's going to be the odd mistake, there might be a memory lapse, but it happens to everyone. And I don't look for perfection from live gigs, I look for authenticity, feeling, you know, the bits that go well, you try to make them go really well. And also the strength of the team and the band I play with currently are mighty. You know, they're extraordinary. I mean,
well, I can second that. I watched the gig last year in Birkenhead. I caught up with you there, and it was, the range of vocal talents there, as well as everything else, and of course Nick and his visual aspect. I mean, that instrument he brought on, sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but it's...
A Chapman stick.
That's Chapman stick, yes, absolutely. Yeah. That was an unusual moment, and it worked, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I did a review, actually, of the gig, and because you'd played for so long, I think my legs went... dead at the time, so I'm sorry, Steve, to bring a negative up, but it was a positive experience for everybody.
Oh, good.
And it was, I think you played for 2.5 hours. On
might well have done, yeah. I came up with the set recently, and it errs on the long side, and once they got the confidence of doing that, we may make it even longer. But I don't know, you know, this divides people, doesn't it, you know? Keep them wanting or give them everything you've got, and I tend to sort of err on give them everything you've got. At least we'll try and keep everyone happy, and they won't feel any of their favourites are left out of the thing. But, you know, but it's a tall order, both for the band and for fans, but I'm tempted to do that, I must admit.
Well, if anyone's listening, it's definitely well worth going on the Steve Hackett tour. Go find a gig near you. I think you're fairly well covered in the UK, aren't you, in this one?
Yeah.
We didn't mention Leamington Spa and places like that, that I haven't got the list in front of me, but
right.
Catch it if you can.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're covering a lot of areas. We're doing Glasgow again. We're playing all sorts of places. We're doing the Maltings, funnily enough, which we've never done before. God, there's so many areas, aren't there? I can probably get one of those things that will be severely prompted here. Oh, there we go. Lovely. I can tell you exactly what it is.
Thank you.
Southampton, the Brook on the 16th of November. The 18th, Glasgow, the Ferry. 19th, Manchester Academy. 20th is Pontardawe Arts Centre. 21st is Leamington, the Assembly. 23rd, Brighton, the Comedia. 25th is Bath, the Comedia. 26th, Homeforth Picture Dome. 27th, Birkenhead Pacific Road. 28th, Gateshead the Sage. 29th, Bilston the Robin. 30th, London Shepherd's Bush Empire. 2nd of December, Cambridge Junction. 3rd, Milton Keynes the Stables. And then there's another one, 16th of December. At the Maltings, which is in Farnham, isn't it? I always get mixed up between Farnham and Farnborough. No air shows that particular day, so at Farnham rather than Farnborough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that was a plug and a half.
I'm sorry about that. Shameless plug, but
absolutely, no, it's fine.
You know,
there's a lot of dates on that. So.
There's a lot of dates. We've got a couple of special guests who are joining us. On the London show, and that's John Wetton and Stephen Wilson of Porcupine Tree. So, looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
I've rehearsed with them both, and it's great fun to work with either. And that's
any songs you're going to reveal, or is it best just to find out on the night?
Well, I've been fairly open about it. I can't say everything that we're going to do, but we are trying to incorporate. Initially, we were going to do one new Genesis one that we hadn't done before, that I hadn't played since the 70s, and that was Carpet Crawlers. But Gary O'Toole said he'd really like to do Watch of the Skies. And I said, yeah, but drumming and singing that at the same time is going to be impossible. And he said, no, I can do it. And sure enough, we rehearsed it, and the band were note perfect on it, first time. And that's extraordinary, because I had tried to play that once or twice before in my past with different lineups. And I remember a time when it took 10 days to rehearse up that number alone. But luckily, my guys are very enthusiastic now. They know that material. Version of that, it's extraordinary, sound that sounds better than ever that Roger King does with keyboards. So it's Mellotron, but it's Mellotron plus, organ. So I don't know what he does, but it's got that extraordinary sort of growling, powerful, kind of growling orchestra staring you straight between the eyes sound. spaceship that that thing always was when we, you know, did it with Tony Banks, of course, when Genesis were up and running.
Of course.
When we were all young blades. And so that sounds amazing, and Nick's bass sound on that is extraordinary. So it's a bit like it's a number that's moved on from the early days and evolved to maybe a sort of sonic level that makes me still proud of it and makes me think, now this sounds every bit as good as I remember it. And it's, I don't know, on one level it's sort of reclaiming part of my history. On another level, okay, on another level it's just a great song.
Sure.
So that's part of it.
Very briefly, Steve.
Live Rails. New live album recorded, I've billed it as recorded somewhere between Paris, London and New York, which is about right for all those gigs that we've done. You know, I mean, we did practically 150 gigs back to back, you know, with the stuff fairly recently. And it was the band at its best, sounding wonderful. It's a really, I love the way that the live album sounds. The performances, I think, are non-parallel.
And I think you can actually buy this from the usual suspects, Amazon and people like that, but also from HackettSounds.com.
Yeah, from HackettSongs.com, and we'll have it available to sell.
Sorry, did I say Hackett's?
On tour, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Hackett Songs, sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Easy mistake.
Yeah. So that's available on the site and after the 16th of November, I think.
We'll have it with us to sell, I think. Well, you might be right, it might be, 16th. Yeah, of course it'll be from the first gig.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and on the site. And down the line, it might be available on a, but we circulated more widely. But you know, it's first 500 I've signed personally, and people can always get things signed at gigs anyway by me. So I usually come out, and people usually get something signed, and they usually get a photograph if they want, much to the chagrin of the rest of the team at times, who, you know, want to get to bed, and he's still there signing at 4 a.m. Now, I mean, they close venues on us, believe me. So, yeah. But I try, if it's possible, I'll do it. Unless we've got to go from John O'Groats to the Land's End, and
that's a cracking Christmas present for somebody, and that ends its looks for today,
you.
Steve.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
We enjoyed it very
for
much.
Your time.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, fantastic.
Cheers. Thank you.
Welcome. Sorry about that. I just found out it was.
Yeah. Are they lining up? Oh, let them in.
Yeah.
that night is very bright. There's no whitewashed victim as the neons dim to the coat of white. He's gone, he's forgotten what he did, and the land lies down. Yeah.
There we are. What a thoroughly nice guy Steve is. And just to reiterate what Steve was saying about the tour there, a couple of local dates for most of you who are listening to Xanadu locally. That's Friday the 19th of November, and that's Manchester Academy, and the box office there is 0161 832 1111. Let me just scroll down to the details for the Pacific Road gig. Apologies there. It is actually the Saturday, the 27th of November. I think we said the 28th in the interview. That's the Saturday, the 27th of November. And the box office there is 0151 666 0000. But there's a whole range of gigs if you are listening outside the Merseyside area. There's Home Firth, Lamington Spa, as Steve quite rightly plugged the whole tour there. And why not? Okay, so thanks for listening. Hope you do catch Steve Hackett's gig. And whatever you're doing for the rest of the weekend, enjoy yourselves. And I'll see you, I think it's the week after next. It'll be the next Rock Waves. So thanks for that. And I'll speak to you soon.